Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael. It's so good to be here today. And I love when we have guests with us, which we normally do. And then sometimes we have another host with us. And today we have both.
We have guests of guests.
We have guests of
guests.
Double
blessing day.
So it is great to have everyone around the table. And today Micah Branson is joining us with one of her friends, and she can tell that story of how they're connected. But welcome today, Micah. Good to have you here.
Thank you, folks. It's good to share stories of God's grace and redemption.
Amen.
And I have brought a friend with me today who gives me great joy, just seeing her face and her smile when we walk through the door, and a big hug. She's a walking miracle, I would say. And this verse came to mind, thought about Heather Cash, who I have with me today from my coaching days at EMU. This is not a softball podcast, but the friends that I'm bringing tend to come out of those conversations and those connections. So
that's why we're present in the community, right?
Right.
That's right, and it's the number one thing that athletics has given me in life, and I think Heather will lean into that a little bit too. But I want to share the verse with you that God laid on my heart that is in connection with our relationship. It's Philippians 1:3-6. And it says, I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I met Heather coaching softball. I think it was my last year coaching.
Yep.
I was pregnant.
You were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ran with you guys until it became really hard and I wasn't beating anyone and my soul took to the bucket to watch. Heather was an exciting freshman from down the road at Broadway, and got to go watch her play in the state tournament when we were recruiting her, and was a point guard on the basketball team that was really successful there. And she was also an amazingly fun kid that came in and lit my face with laughter and, you know, that kind of belly laugh. She was a good one at pulling that out of us. We might get some real stories into that. But walked with her, and then as her college career unfolded and some other things happened, walked with her through some different things. And so I'll let Heather introduce herself and kind of pick up that story.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. My name is Heather Cash, formerly Heather Bagwell. Most people probably know me that from Broadway. I did grow up in Broadway, right outside Lacey Springs. I am one of four children. I have three brothers. One actually passed away in 2023, which if we get to that conversation, I will lead you there. I did grow up in a divided home. My mom divorced when I was really young, but I was blessed enough to have a stepfather who stepped up. And I had grandparents who helped raise me as well, that I come to know Jesus through them, actually.
I was going to ask you, like, did you go to church with your grandparents, I guess?
So growing up, I went to church, and it was more of, it was the right thing to do for my parents. My parents actually never attended with us. It was kind of just like they would send us off with grandma. And I come to know Jesus through going to church with my grandma. So that was really special. And like I said, it was more of a routine thing. I didn't really come to know who Jesus was until I was older and was going through some things in the home and stuff.
But you had a foundation, right?
I sure did.
Was there for you to come back to.
Absolutely.
Cool.
That's cool. So you mentioned that you had that foundation. What are some of the early memories that you have of that, that looking back on that stick out to you now? Maybe it didn't stick out to you then, but just some things from those early years.
So I definitely come to know Jesus more through worship, not just going to church. I loved to sing when I was little. I remember doing choir, talent shows at church and stuff. And that is really where I connected with Jesus. And I still do to this day connect with Jesus through that. So that was probably one of the most like influential things I had growing up was worshiping Jesus through song. My granddaddy, he played the guitar and he was part of the choir. And so I really looked up to my grandparents for that and always wanted to be a part of that. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's how she brought worship to the softball team at EMU, because if I'm hitting balls and there's a line of girls and someone busts out in a song, it was Heather on the bus. I think like in the line to get food, randomly.
Yeah, singing has always brought great joy. Yeah.
Team chemistry.
Brings it to those around you too. So let's talk about from your perspective. Heather played a spring and then came back for a fall at EMU. And then let's talk about where your walk with Jesus became deeper because of a need for him.
I excelled really well in high school, in my opinion.
She's not just saying that.
I excelled in softball and basketball and decided to further my career at EMU, where I met the lovely Micah. And that was a blessing in itself. God has definitely been in that story from the beginning. He knew that I needed her for sure.
Well, and being from a divided home myself, I tend to find those kids on a team. You can never have favorites when you're coaching. You have 12 daughters or 14 or one time I had 22 one year. But there are kids who speak to your soul because you see yourself in them and you see yourself in that journey and that struggle. And so one of my greatest joys in coaching is to restore a kid's confidence or to walk with them through the hard things.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's been way more important than any kind of stat that ever came out of for wins or losses. And the deep relationship that Heather and I now have speaks to that
too. Yeah, and I definitely, college was hard for me. It didn't come as easy to me as high school did. You know, high school, I breezed right through. I was book smart. I didn't have to work for anything. Like I said, I excelled in sports. And then you get to college and everybody's good at everything. You know, you don't just have one standout player. You have a whole bunch together. So that was really hard for me, and I struggled. And I ended up starting to hang out with the wrong people and fell down a path that I never thought I would go down. I resented my parents for the path that they went down with addiction and stuff like that, and I found myself right in that hole. And you always say, oh, I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going to be like them. And then you find yourself in the middle of it, and you're like, wow, what happened? And you got to work your way through it. And thankfully, I had Micah to help me work my way through it. And she brought Jesus back into my life just by being there for me.
Well, and I've often wondered, this is sharing a lot of detail of the story, but we had two very talented freshmen that year out of that class, probably more than that. But I remember vividly that we had a conversation with him and said, hey, we're going to start you. And then we're going to start you. And somebody's going to win this position. On day one, it was the other young lady that ended up in right field and started, and it wasn't you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there was no reason for that. It was just the way that we did it, and she was going to get the next game. And it just so happened that that girl had a good game, and Heather was walking down a path, and I felt like I couldn't pull her back. I could walk with her, but I couldn't pull her back, and she was so talented. But you just kind of watched it unravel, and I've always wondered, like, what would have happened if we started her that day? But God writes the script and we don't, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And to watch you now with your family and the community and the person that you become and the Jesus that you exude, I know that he wrote the perfect script, but it was so hard for me to watch you walk through it and to walk through it with you. And there was one day you came up to the track. I was waiting on you. And my mom was up there walking with me. And I don't know, we engaged in whatever we were going to talk about. And she goes, you just can't let that young lady go, can you? And I was like, no. I can't.
I'm glad you didn't.
Because I love her way too much.
Micah, you said, you know, what would have happened if she would have started first? And my thought is all of that was underneath would have just stayed underneath. You wouldn't have known the issue. It wouldn't have come to the top probably as easily. And the Lord can use those times to really help you all get real and know what's going on. And so the enemy really likes to mess things up. But what... he intends for evil, God can use for good. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading the book of James right now with my children. And James says that whenever we face trials, that we should consider them an opportunity to be joyful. And, you know, I actually love that James doesn't say if you face trials, but he says when you face trials. And for me, there's comfort in knowing that I'm not the only one who's going to face trials, that that's a reality for all of us. And he says that we should consider them an opportunity to be joyful. So we should trust that trials produce faith, and faith produces perseverance, and perseverance produces maturity. And he's telling us that although our trials may not feel good, God's still going to use them for our good.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, you know, I look back and I'm like, man, I hate that I went through what I went through, you know, because you don't want that for your, now that I have children, I don't want that for my children.
That's right.
But I look back and I'm like, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because I would not be the person I am today if I did not go through what I went through.
Yeah. And, you know, the enemy wants our generations. And there's a curse to be broken sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you did that, you know, with the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and community. That is so important in this conversation, because if we're in isolation, it's not going to go well for us. But when we come into a community and can be open about where we're at and what we're going through, it makes a huge difference. When someone loves us where we are, they don't judge us, but they love us where we are and walk with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you find Micah to be that way, or was she judging?
Absolutely. No, she was not judging at all. You know, she knew what I was going through, and she loved me despite what I was going through. And, you know, back to my whole growing up and stuff, it was really hard with my parents when I went through what I went through.
Yeah.
And, you know, your parents are supposed to be there for you and help guide you through and love you through that, and I did not have that. And I still did not have that to this day.
Yeah.
But thankfully, God has placed people like Micah in my life that have helped me get through and still help me get through times like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you had said earlier that your stepdad stepped up.
He did.
When you were younger, and I remember that relationship being strong when you were in college, and the presence of your family, your grandparents. I could always look up and knew that they were there.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my grandma's prayers.
They prayed for you, and they were behind you quietly all the time. And I know that in my life, there's been some holes of people or things that I'm like, man, that shouldn't have been that way. But then that gives an opportunity for these other people to lean into your life. And so it's beautiful who God brings to fill that hole. That hole doesn't really close because it's a God-sized hole that we're trying to put people in.
Yeah.
That are imperfect.
You know, I've had the hole of missing a father. My biological dad was never there for me like I wanted him to be. And, you know, I did say that my stepdad stepped up, but it wasn't in the way that I really needed. I needed that father figure, that fatherly love. And it wasn't until I got older that, you know, I'd searched and searched for this earthly father, when in reality, I had Jesus the whole time.
That's right. Yeah.
And it took me years to realize that.
It's the only thing that will fill that hole.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
It's a God-sized hole that everyone has.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. We're all filling it with something.
Yep, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Whether it be drugs, everybody has an addiction, and we fill that hole with those addictions.
Yeah. Anything that we put over God, that we need more than we need God every day, is an addiction. It's idolatry, really. I was just reading about this yesterday, and because our affections should be ordered God first, right?
That's absolutely.
Sometimes we can think that he is, but then he shows us places that we can work on and get things back. And that's a continual journey the rest of our life, right? Like, just to stay in that relationship with the Lord and make him first. It's not easy, but he is so good.
All the time.
All the time.
Those idols can look very different. I think we were leading a life group together once, Margaret and I, and this is early on in my faith journey. And like you, I had been in church my whole life, didn't go to deep relationship until later, after I had kids and started seeking it for my own and making my faith my own, which makes it way deeper. But we're leading this life group session. It's on Baal worship. And God gave me this thought. Clearly, it was like, Baal is one letter away from Baal.
Oh.
That hit me between the eyes as I'm like, Trent, I'm leading this. But, you know, when I was coaching you guys, I was coaching from January to May, and I was playing on the weekends, and I was playing league ball, and I was probably playing softball or coaching 6 days out of the week, maybe seven on a lot of weeks. And God really showed me. And so now that I'm coaching, you're coaching in our community, and your husband does, my husband does, it's really hard to get a hold of that and harness it to where, you know, you are present for Jesus in these places, but you aren't allowing it to become an idol. Mm-hmm. And it is a constant.
It's journey. A lot. Coaching these days is a lot.
It is.
Right? Well, we could stop there. But yeah, coaching is a lot. And there's just competition. Like, it's just, there's a lot. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of relationships to navigate. And I think about, like, Micah, I know this because I've been around you a little bit. Your desire is to bring unity in those places and exude the love of Jesus. And God's just so faithful to, in those moments with Baal and Baal, you know, like, he helps us in these still small voices, just make these, it might not seem huge when we're sitting here talking about it, but those shifts to put God first, and realize what needs to be first and what can fall underneath that. That's when life falls together, right? Yeah. Like, that's when things, God can bless that.
Yeah. And we've talked about how you said, what if Heather had started that first game, but God allowed it to happen the way it happened. And now Heather, that might not have been a good season, but he used that season. Mm-hmm. You said you look back on that and you're grateful that you went through that. Talk about, we had your husband Derek on a while back. So talk about how you all met, and maybe you met during that hard season.
Yeah, so we definitely did meet during a hard season. A little bit about me and Derek is we are both recovering addicts. When I met Derek, he was fresh out of prison. He had just got done doing about five years in prison, and I was just getting out of an abusive relationship that had taken me from my family, led me down a path of destruction. And I was trying to get sober at the time that I had met Derek. I'd only been just recently sober, and I met Derek on Facebook. And everything about Derek was wrong. Just everything. When you look at him, everything about him was wrong. He had just gotten released from prison, covered in tattoos, was living with his mom. And here I am. I'm just moving back home out of an abusive relationship. It was destined to be chaos. I mean, absolutely. But you put God in the middle of it, and it became something beautiful. Our first date was actually to church, something that was unfamiliar for both of us to do in a relationship. So that was really special. And actually, when we got engaged, he took me back to that church. Wow. To propose to me. So that was special. But yeah, God has been in the beginning of our relationship from the beginning.
That's a good foundation to start.
Oh, absolutely.
The best, the only foundation.
Yeah, I don't think that our relationship would have lasted if we hadn't had God in it. Mm-hmm. I think we both would have led each other down a destructive path, mm-hmm. considering our past.
Yeah. But your focus was different.
Our focus was different, yeah. Then. We were focused on God. And we both just wanted to be loved, really. And we offered that for each other.
Yeah, that's beautiful. As you were talking, and I was here thinking, wrong for each other. And in my mind, I was going, but Jesus. And then you go, but God, you know, and it is. It's like,
it's a God story.
Yeah, I mean, it is a God story. And he changes the trajectory in such amazing ways that we could never think, ask, or imagine, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, my family, they were so against it. They were like, absolutely not. We cannot go down this path again with you. And now I think my family likes Derek more than me.
That's because now I think they're like a number one Derek fans.
Oh, yeah. They are all for Derek, you know, just love him. And to know Derek is to love him. I mean, he is a wonderful person. You just look at Derek and you know that he has the love of Jesus in him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yep. His smile just lights up a room.
It does.
Like yours.
Thank you.
I want to speak to the power of prayer in this story. And so sometimes I think as bystanders in a situation or watching something unfold, we feel really helpless in a situation to do something. Heather finished up the season in May. I guess it was 14 because it was a year Layton was born, my daughter. I had her in September. I think you asked for lunch with me and your high school coach, Becky Cantrell.
Yep.
Took us to lunch at the old Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's how long it was. Yep.
And Heather just shared with us openly about where she was at, what she was doing. It was a cry for help. And I had just had my first child. I was kind of like ate up with that. But now I have this daughter, and I have this like adopted daughter I'm looking at, and I can do nothing but pray for her. Mm. Nothing. And watch her walk through it. Same with Becky. And so just the fact that you trusted us with it to come to us. And God showed us that all we could do was pray, and the power of prayer to ask people you know will pray for you, mm-hmm. no matter where you're at. She has had the courage to do that. And
you know, I thank God for you and Becky every day. You guys have been more than friends to me. You've been like a mother. So you guys have been just such a blessing in my life.
Well, and I can remember after that lunch, like I couldn't be alone because every time I was alone, I would just start breaking out in tears for you and just interceding in my head. And I don't know that I've ever prayed for anybody as hard as I did for you in those days. But to watch you dig your way out with God and then with Derek when he entered. When did you meet him?
In 2016.
Okay. So it was
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a long journey. But the way that God answered those prayers, like I could have never. I'm glad he writes the script because it's more beautiful.
The fact that your role to pray, like you were so, like that was something you couldn't stop yourself from doing. I mean, that become your passion is, mm-hmm. and the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective.
I don't know if I was righteous then or now.
Well. I, too, have a history of addiction down some really dark, dark roads. And I remember my mom calling me and telling me she was praying for me. And I made a little light of it because I was so lost. But I know I'm here today because of the prayers of my mom and other people were praying, too. But she was on her knees for me. And there's no greater gift that we can give someone. And sometimes we say, well, let's just pray. Well, let me say, it's not just. I mean, it is powerful.
That's effective. The first thing we should come to.
Right. And Colossians 1, I think it's Ephesians 1, too. It talks about the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available for us. And that power is, the Greek word is dunamai, which is the root for dynamite. And to think about the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available for us. It's the power that took her to her knees and she prayed, and it's the power that brought you from where you Absolutely. Were to where you are today.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy to tell people like, oh, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Mm-hmm. And I really made it a point in my life that when I say I'm going to pray for somebody, God's telling you to do it right now.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. He's do it telling in the moment. You to stop yeah. and do it in the moment.
Yeah.
But don't go home and think about yeah. it because you're going to forget about it.
That's right.
Stop and do yeah. it right in the moment. And yeah. I believe that that is what happened for me in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah. So there's a song I've just actually recently found it. Actually, someone sent it to me, and it's called Proof. And some of the lyrics, you just remind me. It says, if you've never seen the dead rise from the grave, you have now. If you've never seen perfect love break chains, you have now. If you've never seen mercy make depression fade, you have now. If you've never looked a miracle in the face, you have now. And 'cause if you knew my past, if you knew where I've been, if you knew what he brought me through, you would lift your hands, you would sing and dance, you wouldn't miss this chance. No, you'd thank you too, because my life's the proof of what he can do. Because I'm still breathing now, I can't help but shout. I've got to let it out and let the praise break through.
Wow, I like that. I'll have to go listen to that
beautiful.
Now. You know I like my music.
Yes, and so people can go Google that if you have the Google. But miracles, sitting around the table. This is what God can do. And maybe someone today is listening and saying, man, I'm grateful for her, but I have someone that they'll never get free from their addiction. What would you say to them today?
We have two choices when it comes to trials in our life. We can let it make us better or we can let it make us bitter.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to understand. I want to touch on just because God is in our life does not mean that we're not going to face trials.
That's right.
Again. Yeah. And I come to know that firsthand. People look at us and I think they see this perfect family, but we still do go through trials. You know, we're going through one right now with my husband mm-hmm. who just had an accident. But back in 2023, I lost my brother and that was really hard for me. And even though my faith was at an all-time high, I felt like I was really in tune with God and we were on the same page. And then I lost my brother and it made me bitter. Mm-hmm. It did. And it took a long time for me to take that pain and come to peace with it. So my advice to anybody that's going through anything is instead of asking why is this happening to me? We need to change our prayers to, hey, God, fix me, fix my heart to deal with this better.
That's right.
And it took me more than a year to come to terms with that after losing my brother, instead of asking God why, because he's never going to give me that answer.
That's right.
I can search and I can search and I can be angry with him And I was. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm this perfect Christian who has not gotten angry with God, because I have found myself not praying and just being bitter about what had happened in my life. It wasn't until this past year that I asked God, hey, God, just fix my heart. Give me peace. Yeah, you don't need to tell me why this happened. Just give me peace with what has happened and help me to get through it.
Yeah. That's powerful.
So that's very important for anybody going through anything, is don't let it make you bitter. Let it make you better.
Yeah. It made me think of a scripture. It's Psalm 130, 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits for the Lord. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen. Wait for the morning more than watchmen. Wait for the morning. Yeah. And this idea that when we put our hope in the Lord, our whole being, like we lean into that, to the Lord, because our hope is never going to be in another person. They're going to let us down.
Absolutely.
Right? But I was kind of downcast over my soul one day, and a friend texted me that in the midst of me sitting on my couch, like really struggling with something. And I'm like, I did it again. My hope is in the Lord. We need to look up. And he is the one that can make all things new. But it is hard sometimes to get from looking around to having our eyes and our hope cast towards Jesus.
And Heather, as you were talking, you brought up a good point about just because we become believers doesn't mean we're not going to have trials. In fact, the Bible says we will have trials of many kinds, but to take heart, because he's overcome the world. Jesus overcame the world by death and resurrection, and we can put our hope in that even through our trials.
Absolutely.
Heather, what else would you like to share in closing that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
I think something that's very important to me is that everybody's going through something. We can look like the perfect person on the outside, but everybody's going through something. And it costs nothing to meet somebody with kindness, with a smile.
That's right. Yeah.
You might be the only encounter that somebody has of Jesus. And that's very important. I want people to look at me and be like, she loves Jesus. I don't want them to look at me and be like, wow, she's got a good life.
Yeah.
No, I want them to look at me and be like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And
that's beautiful.
Yep.
That right there is the gospel exuded through Heather. And it's so beautiful how you wear it now. We did a Bible study at my house, and it was all people who weren't from my church. I think they were all softball players too.
They were? Yep.
Yeah. And it was some real women in that room and men who were transparent and went deep real quick. And I think it was one of the first meetings that one of the questions was like, you know, what would you want people to know about you? And Heather real boldly was like, I would want people to know that I'm a recovering addict and that I am not perfect and I have not arrived. That type of transparency is what draws people to Jesus.
Yeah, because I think people look at me and they think, wow, she's got it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I don't. I'm still trying to get it together. But by the grace of God, he's helped me get through it.
Yeah.
So. You are on God's starting team.
For sure.
Now.
Yep.
And it's exuded in your smile and how you articulate things and how you say, like, my faith was at an all-time high. It was at an all-time high so that you could get through these hard parts of life.
Yeah. And I'm still working through it. It's going to be something, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect Christian. We're all working through it.
Right.
One day at a time.
Yeah. And, you know, we can stop drinking and be sober, but those things that caused us to drink, we still have to deal with.
Absolutely.
You know, we still have to work through those things. And it is the rest of our life. We're on a journey that we will need Jesus every day. There's not a day or a moment that we don't need him. And as long as we can keep our focus on him, we will be. It doesn't mean that, like you said, the hard times won't come. But we'll be prepared.
And even if you aren't going through a hard time, you still need to seek Jesus.
Right, yeah.
Even when life is perfect and everything seems good, that's when he wants us the most, to continue to trust in him.
That's right. That's right. So true.
Yeah. And we call this program Hope Talks. So what is bringing you hope right now in your life?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd have to say my children. I just look at my children and they give me hope for a better tomorrow. They make me better in everything that I do. It's emotional to talk about because I was told I would never have children, and I have three beautiful children, and everything I do is for them, and I want my children to know the love of Jesus through me, and that is my number one goal, and that's what gives me hope, is just looking into their eyes and seeing how innocent and pure a child is, and they come to know Jesus through us, and that's my number one job on this earth. I do believe that my greater purpose in life that God has given me is to be a mother and to teach my children about Jesus. Yeah. Because I didn't have that growing up. And, you know, that was challenging growing up, is not having a mom that I could depend on, not having a mom that showed me who Jesus was. Yeah. I had to come to know Jesus through myself. And my pain. I want my children to go through trials. Do I want them to go through the pain that I have went through? No. And hopefully by me showing them who Jesus is and what he's done in my life, that I can help them with that. Yeah. So definitely my children are what give me hope for a better tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing
thank
that.
You. Micah and Heather, thank you for joining us today. It's been great to have both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Heather Cash's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.